Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Happy Wednesday, everyone, and welcome to Journey into Oneness. I am your host, Darlene Soa, coming to you from the beautiful blossoming mountains of Western North Carolina. It is absolutely gorgeous over here, and it looks like spring is in full swing now. It's a wonderful, wonderful time of year, and a great time for birthing of a lot within us, as well as what's happening in the other world, birthing. One of the things that I wanted to talk about before we get into our show today, and we've got a great show with a very special guest, Anne-Marie McConnell, who will talk a lot about ceremony and her experiences with ceremony and leading them. But first, before that, just wanted to bring your awareness to how the astrology is supporting us at this wonderful time of year. We've got four planets now that are in retrograde: Saturn, Mercury, Venus, and Pluto. And basically, that retrograde, with all of that combined, is just a huge message for us to review, rethink, you know, revisit and reassess. It's a great time for us to realize that sometimes we can be obsessed with our outer technology without really focusing on our inner technology. Sometimes the outer world of distraction takes our mind off of what's happening inside, you know, with our emotions, with our heart. This is a wonderful, wonderful time to revisit all that, to look at to how we feel connected at one with ourselves, with our emotions, as well as with the earth. And that's why I'm so very excited about having Anne-Marie today, because she's going to be helping us out in feeling that deeper connection through ceremony. It was just a synchronistic meeting that I got to know Anne-Marie. We have a mutual friend who got us together. And on our first meeting, we sat and chatted endlessly for a couple hours, just talking about the wonderful, wonderful experiences of being in the world at this particular time and on our particular journeys and how they have evolved. So without further ado, what I want to do is introduce you to Anne-Marie, bring her on, and in fact, let her introduce herself. So Anne-Marie, welcome to Journey into Oneness.
Hi, Darlene. Thank you very much for inviting me to be part of this. I am from Ireland. I've lived in Ireland most of my life, although I've been a bit of a wanderer my whole life. I've lived for about 5 years on and off over about a 15-year period. I lived for about 5 years in the Canary Islands, but mostly in Dublin. And then about 18 years ago, I moved from Dublin, Ireland, over to the States. And I've been most of the time in Western North Carolina. About 5 years out, I was about a year in Chicago and then about 4 years in L.A., but then came back. I do love the mountains here. They feel very homey to me, very, very much like home. I guess I've been on my path since I was about 28, a long time ago. I'm 55 now, so I've been at it quite a while. And my first sort of introduction, if you like, was, you know, working with an Irish gentleman, actually, who was very much into holistic life. And I studied massage therapy and dietetics and psychotherapy, and used to practice all of those things. And then at the same time, more or less, I ended up at a workshop with an American lady who is a shaman, who carries the Navajo tradition. And I was at a workshop with her for a weekend, and she's the real deal. She's very powerful. And that was the first time I'd really witnessed what I would call really serious ceremony. And I was blown away by it, really, how somebody could create and hold a space where people could really sort of tap into a deeper part of themselves, sort of beyond the mental constructs that we all carry. And so I studied with Phoenix. And actually, I would consider Phoenix still a teacher of mine. But at this point, I work more with a woman, an Irish woman that she trained, called Trish Cameron, who I'm very close to. And we have a wonderful relationship. She's a friend. She's like the big sister I always wanted but never had. She's also my teacher. And we also work together as colleagues when we take people to Ireland to do ceremony together. And she comes over here and teaches. And then I am doing an apprenticeship, second year of my apprenticeship with her, to be able to hold ceremony and do it in a very real way. I feel a lot of people sort of like to say that they hold ceremony, but they don't really know how to hold the energy. And I think that's a very important thing to learn how to do. So, so that's a fairly broad-based introduction.
That sounds so interesting. Now, when was it that you first took this first ceremony that just opened you up to how deep it can be being in ceremony? How long ago was that?
Well, it's roughly 30 years ago. 30 years. 25, 30 years ago, in there.
Now, what's the importance of ceremony? Why is it so important for us to be doing it now?
Well, I think it's really important because it keeps us a little bit connected to ourselves. And in the very busy, very hectic world we live in, I think it's very easy for us to kind of just be busy, 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 and run all the time. And when we do that, I think we become very unhappy in our own lives. And, you know, we lose our connection to ourselves. We lose our connection to the earth. And we lose our connection thus to, you know, the magic that's around us all the time. And one of the things that continuously amazes me is how magical this planet is in the midst of all the mayhem. You know, you can be in the middle of a city and see something that can be kind of quite magical, whether it's a bird or a spider or a little plant busting up through the asphalt. You know, when you see them, sometimes, you know, there's 2 inches of asphalt that they've busted through. And I always look at these little plants and think, wow, what an incredible thing. What a miracle. What a desire to live. You know, that you just, I mean, bust up through 2 inches of tarmac at them to get to the light of day. So I think ceremony helps us stay connected to what I would consider to be what's more real in our worlds and in our lives.
More the inner than the outer. It brings us more inner.
Yeah, I mean, the outer as well, but not the busy, you know,
right.
Nature, you know, the miracles that, you know, I mean, you can spend half an hour with a child. I don't have any kids, so I don't have many little ones in my life. And I'm sure if I had to deal with a little one 24/7, I might be quite exhausted, but I think if you have that sort of your own sort of stillness present within you, you know, you can appreciate the magic, even with a kid that's being difficult or whatever. You know what I mean? It just sort of
right.
opens up your perspective. It gives you a different perspective, and that's very helpful, I think.
Now, for someone that hasn't really been involved in ceremony, where do they begin? Where is a good place for them to begin?
Well, I think ceremony can be as simple as lighting a candle.
Okay.
You know, taking a moment out of your day, lighting a candle, and having, you know, an intention, lighting your candle for your intention, and saying saying a little prayer to your own essence, to your own spirit, or it can be to just to the universe. You know, please, could I have a little bit of help with this? I'm a bit concerned, or I'm a bit worried, I'm a bit stressed, and I'd like some help. I think it can be from that simple to doing, you know, I know Phoenix now, she does a rainbow dance. It's called the Rainbow Dance in Wales every year. And that's a week long of high ceremony, and there's sweat lodges, and they dance in the tradition Navajo fashion. They dance to a huge tree, back and forth from the tree, i.e. sort of tree of life. And you know, you're in ceremony for a week, and that takes a lot of setup, as you can imagine, because people come from all over the world to do it, and you know, people dress very specifically. But I think the key to ceremony is intentionality and being very intentional. So you could make a ceremony of doing your dishes if you wanted it to be that simple. And what I would do, something like this, is, you know, I'd wash the dishes, and as I'm washing the dishes, I just send out prayers, and or that could be just blessings or just love, gratitude, thanks for everybody that's been involved in getting that plate to my house. And that, you know, and that becomes a huge number if you think about whoever designed the plate, whoever made the plate, whoever transported the plate, whoever unpacked the plate in the shop where I bought it, the guys who got the gas for my car to go and get it. You know, that number just exponentially increases. And you can spend 5 minutes just sending out wild abandon of gratitude into the universe, and that's a little ceremony right there.
So it's like the chop wood, carry water bit. It's just ceremony is always possible, no matter what you're doing. It gets you into the magical of what's really happening around you, into the essence of what's really happening. Now, I noticed shortly after we had met, I had attended the fire ceremony for the spring equinox.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so impressed with how it was conducted, and also with the revelations that I got during it. Can you talk a little bit about the fire ceremonies that, and now these are done during every season, a fire ceremony?
Yes. They're done at the beginning of every season, and they're also done at the equinoxes and the solstices. So it's the, I mean, it may be from other parts of the world, excuse me, as well, but the fire festivals that I do would be connected in with the whole Celtic Christianity. Well, not really Celtic Christianity, but Celtic pagan sort of traditions, because they're much older than Christianity. But Christianity has kind of adopted a lot of them in, you know, like Easter, Christmas is the solstice. Easter is really spring equinox. And there's eight of them over the year. So you have the solstices and the cross and the equinoxes. And then in between each one of those, you have the beginning of each season. So in Ireland, they're known as Samhain, which is Halloween. Samhain is the beginning of the Celtic New Year, considered a very sacred time of year. The Celts understood, as do many of the indigenous peoples, that everything begins in the dark. So the Celtic New Year is as you go into that darkest period of the year. So from Samhain to winter solstice, the return of the light, is actually the darkest part of the year. And it's a time for dreaming, it's a time for resting, it's a time for really allowing yourself to kind of go deep into your own beingness. And so that's the beginning of winter. And then we have Imbolc, which is in February. So you have the Samhain, then the winter solstice, and then the next one is Imbolc. Imbolc is the first stirrings of life. It's the beginning of February. And that's a big celebration. That's St. Bridget's Day is what it's called at home, which comes from Brigid, who is a very ancient goddess, but who sort of is still alive today because she's been able to transform herself through the eons into whatever form she needs to take to stay sort of alive in the hearts of the people. So she was one of the goddesses who transformed very beautifully into the Christian tradition. So we have Imbolc, then we have...
So can I ask you a couple questions to go back?
Sure.
So starting with Samhain, so our focus, like if we were to hold a focus through the year, you know, with a beginning ceremony helping us with this, Samhain would help us focus with going within, because this is the darkest period from Samhain?
Well, Samhain, actually, Samhain. Like a sow's ear.
Okay.
Yes, but it's really about us staying connected with ourselves, of course, but also what really kind of helps us work our way through the year is watching nature and watching how nature unfolds. So there's a great kind of correlation. So Samhain, winter, the beginning of the year, you know, most of the leaves are gone at that point. There's very little happening. You know, if you're sensitive to it, it's like you can almost feel like all the life that's been in the trees all goes back into the womb of Mother Earth.
So it's getting in touch with that feeling between the Samhain and between the winter solstice.
Mm-hmm. The first time I did it, I remember I became really excited about the winter solstice. And it wasn't something that I was kind of contemplating necessarily. It was just, I'm sorry, that was an email coming in. If you heard that at home, that's what that was. But I was in the shower and it was coming in to the winter solstice. And I suddenly felt this real anticipation of the return of the light, the excitement of life returning, really. Life returning, light returning, movement returning. And when I spoke with Trish, she was delighted that I had felt that, because she was saying that is exactly the feeling of solstice, which in Christianity we sort of translated into Christmas. And that's the kind of excitement, you know, when I was a kid, I used to feel that excitement, but I thought it was Christmas because it was kind of, you know, presents and family and not having to go to school and having a few days off and all of that kind of stuff. But I realized then that it's more than you know, that's the sort of overlay. Really, I think it's a sort of a knowing in our bodies, the excitement of the light returning, more movement returning.
So if the winter solstice is more light, because the days, and we have such an outer example, because the daylight actually starts to increase, then what is the Imbolc symbol of, because new life has already started?
Well, the light begins to return. Life doesn't necessarily, you know, and again, none of these things are cut and dry. It's not like on the 21st this happens and that's it. It's like the movement of the planets. It all happens kind of quite gradually. So, yes, so the light starts to return, but the movement doesn't really catch up with that for a while.
Okay.
So we have the 6-month period where, you know, you don't go from being deep into your sleep to, you know, sort of full-on bloom, you know. And if you look at nature, That's exactly what nature does. You know, the light returns very, very slowly, and you start to pick up a little kind of bit of energy. By the beginning of February, you can kind of start to see there's a few little things, you know, kind of stirring and beginning to move. And then you kind of come into the equinox, where there's that time of that time of balance between the light and the dark. And then that's a time where, you know, you're starting to feel your energy returning, your desire to be outside, the plans that you have been perhaps contemplating over the winter. You're starting to take a little bit more action. And there's such a great thrust that happens with spring. I always try to remind people that in the equinox, you know, it's not about sort of full-on movement. That happens at the next festival that we're going to be going into, which is Bealtaine in Irish, or Beltane as it's called, which is the beginning of May. That is actually the beginning of spring, really. Well, it's the beginning of, is it the beginning? It's the beginning of summer, really, I suppose. May is where everything is kind of in full bloom. There's a lot more activity. The lambs are being born. There's a few have been born already, but there's just, that's about big. It's the beginning of spring, isn't it, Beltane?
Or summer.
Well, the reason I'm getting a little bit confused is because there's the summer solstice then, which is really, I think, that's full-on summer. And then you have Lunasa, which is the beginning of the harvest. So
really being conscious of these ceremonies, eight in one year,
mm-hmm.
not only the four that introduce the major seasons, but the cross, what is called the cross quarter days,
mm-hmm.
Being conscious of that just helps us be aware that there is a rhythm and flow to nature. And as there is a rhythm and flow to nature, so should there be a rhythm and flow to our lives that we don't resist.
Right. Well, yeah, you know, just to have a consciousness around it. I mean, obviously, you're not just going to sort of not go to work, you know, when there's no light. You still have to sort of keep your time moving along. But there is just instinctively a time to, I think we all feel it, really. You know, winter time is just a little bit more time. It's not so enticing outside. It's darker, it's colder. And I think what happens often with us is if we rush and push all year long, we end up feeling exhausted and not really being able to take the best advantage of the times of year that really promote full movement and full-on action and activities.
So we can be a lot more effective in our life by following the rhythm of nature.
I think so.
And absolutely. So what are some of the things you said that when you went to the first ceremony, that just blew you away at how sacred it was and how much it opened up for you. What are some of the aspects of a good ceremony? What's involved?
Well, that's a really good question. It's also kind of a hard question, and this is why I find when I'm in ceremony, it's like the most normal thing in the world. It just feels like, oh, yes, but of course. You know, and I'll have intuitions about things, and, you know, they'll all seem so natural. I think, oh, yeah, well, of course I'm going to remember that. But of course, you know. And then the ceremony's over, and you come out of ceremony, and it's gone. And then you kind of realize how expanded you were. But in that expanded state, which I feel is really our natural state, of course it feels very natural. Mm-hmm. And then you come out of it and you're like, oh my God, what was that? A brilliant thing that I remembered. And you know, sometimes you can struggle a little bit to remember it. So I think that's one of the most interesting things of ceremony that I always find, that it's just, it's a very natural state, I think, for us to be just expanded, connected with our hearts, connected with our spirits, connected with our bodies. Having said that, I also notice, like, usually if I'm tired or my body is sore going into ceremony, that after I've been in ceremony, that sort of disappears. So I think we are connected to our body, but also in a sort of an expanded way. So the little things that are wrong with us maybe just don't even affect us. I'm trying to think of some of the ahas that I've sort of had through ceremony.
So it's basically what ceremony is doing, is it's opening up us to our larger selves.
Yes, I that's a good way of putting it. Yes, I think so.
Just opening up, and it, so whatever would help us to get to that openness and bring in our higher self, our expanded self,
mm-hmm.
is something that we help us to honor that part.
Well, I think in a way it sort of connects us with our intuition, and I feel like, you know, our higher selves and our inner child, you know, I've heard people say before that our inner child is really our higher self masquerading as our inner child. So I think prayer and ceremony they're a place where we can kind of get used to having that sort of connection operating in our life. But I think you have to really practice it, and you also have to honor it a little bit. So, you know, sometimes I feel like people are not connected with their intuition. But often I feel if you talk to people, they'll say, gosh, you know, I knew that was going to happen. You know, I just had this gut feeling, you know, but I didn't pay attention to it. I wish I had. Or perhaps they did, and they're really glad they did. So I feel there's a definitely a place for us when we're building that connection of acknowledging the connection and giving ourselves credit for, you know, giving our intuition credibility. And that's how we sort of start to build. So if you have an intuition, like if your intuition says, you know, drive at 150 miles an hour down the freeway, well, that's probably not your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if your intuition says, well, maybe I should have this on the menu. I usually have that, but maybe I should have this, you know, and you have that, and it's a delightful meal, and you're really, you know, like anything, we start to build up our relationships with our inner selves slowly. You know, you're not going to go from not having any connection to it to having a full-on 100% connection with it. But I think, having said that, we do really have a very big connection with it. We just have to sort of build up the trust in it. And you do that by giving yourself or giving it your intuition credibility and credit.
And making things a ceremony really helps, because you're totally aware of what's happening and you're bringing the sacredness into every event.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to bring the sacredness into every event if you don't, you know. I mean, but making a little, making an intention every day, you know, maybe lighting a candle, saying, okay, well, today I intend to bring as much love into the universe as I can. You know, something that simple to begin with is great, you know, because there's no judgment. And I think sometimes people who are on a spiritual path can start out with very lofty goals. Okay, well, I'm going to be in ceremony all day, or I'm going to bring in the sacred into everything I do, and then they forget. And then that's a good excuse for them to beat themselves up. So, of course, there's no beating up. You're not allowed to beat yourself up. So, you know, starting off with just bringing as much consciousness into your day as you can and having that as a goal or intention, I think is a great place to start. And then, of course, you know, you can build on that. You can have your little altar where perhaps you'd have a photograph or a picture of somebody you admire or somebody who would be a teacher to you and your candle, you know, and perhaps a crystal or just something that inspires you. It could be a nice piece of crystal or a nice piece of jewelry or a piece of art or just something or a plant, something that when you look at, it makes you, you know, sort of relax and expand. And of course, another very important part is to just slow the breath down. They say a good place to start is an inhale of 4 seconds and an exhale of 4 seconds. And just doing that for a couple of minutes and breathing consciously is enough to, because the only time the body does that is when your body is safe, when you are safe. So when you do that, you know, you really kind of relax the body and become present. And just sitting with a candle and a plant and breathing like that for 3 or 4 minutes with the intention of relaxing and connecting with yourself, something like that seems very little, and yet it can be super profound.
Very powerful ceremony.
Very powerful.
Now, one of the things that you alluded to was an altar.
Mm.
Can you talk a little bit about the importance of having an altar? I know you said it could be rather elaborate, or it could be something simple like just a candle
mm-hmm.
and maybe one item. So what significance does an altar hold for you?
Well, it's inspirational, I think. I set my altar up in the four directions, and I'm learning about, you know, you become very connected with your altar, and it will, you know, it's not just one thing, it's many things. It's an inspiration to me. It's also a sort of it's almost like a teacher to me, insofar, that sounds a little funny, but insofar as when I sit with my altar and the pieces on my altar that are sort of set up in very specific directions and ways, sometimes I kind of feel, like sometimes I'll be sitting with my altar and I will get an intuition or a little bit of an understanding about something that I've been working with or on, or just about an area of my life. And so it's kind of interesting that way, you know. So it's, I almost feel like it holds a certain consciousness. Again, it very much depends on how much practice you've had and how involved you become with your altar if you sit with it every day. But certainly if there's something living, like a flame with a candle or a plant or a crystal, all of those things, in my understanding, are sort of alive. And so therefore there's a consciousness, and there's you know, they hold consciousness, and so there can be a communing of consciousness, there can be a communication back and forth. And so you know, I remember there was one of the great Indian Native American Indian chiefs, I'm not sure if it was Black Elk or Sitting Bull or who it was, but they said that the biggest difference that they could see between the white man and the Native Americans were that the Natives understand that everything is alive, but the white man thinks everything is dead. And that was a very profound thing for me. So I really do appreciate, you know, the life that is in my plants. And because I work with the fire festivals, I've been working a lot with fire. It is one of our primordial elements. It is a consciousness unto itself. And it doesn't speak to me in words, but my consciousness will sort of interpret kind of in words. But when I work with the fire ceremonies, I'm really keeping my eye on the fire and seeing what the fire is doing. And often if I feel the energy sort of like lagging a little bit, or maybe somebody is working through something, whether they're sharing it or not, they may just be working through it in their mind. You know, you'll see the fire will maybe need a little tending. It'll need to be ramped up a little bit. And so that's what I've often found. It's like, you know, if somebody is going through something and I look at the fire and it's like, oh, it needs a little bit of tending. It needs maybe a little bit more fuel. And I put more fuel on and the fire gets a little stronger, then that sort of energy will often help whoever it is who's working through something just work through it with a little bit more ease. So we have a lot of support available to us in our lives, I think, from the elements and from all of grandmother's worlds. So another thing that we talk about a lot, and which is very important to me, is that the human kingdom is only one of the kingdoms of Grandmother Earth. We are only one slice of the pie. There is the elemental kingdom that we mentioned just there, which is earth, air, fire, water, ether. Then we have the mineral kingdom, which is all the crystals and the jewels of the world. Then we have the plant kingdom, which nourish and feed us. And of course, we have the animal kingdom. And then we have the human kingdom. So we have five different kingdoms that all are complete in themselves. They all interact. But so I think we forget sometimes that we are so supported by the animals, the plants, the minerals, mm-hmm. the elements. And they're all there for us. And so that thing of going into ceremony and taking a moment out of our busy lives and our busy minds with our phones and Facebook and WhatsApp and all the rest of them, and just tuning in to the places inside us, which for me are actually more real. But the kingdoms are they're more stable. And in a world where even environmentally we're not that stable right now, financially we're not that stable, politically there's a lot of change going on, educationally there's a lot of change going on, in the world of technology is changing all the time, I find great solace in the fact that the other kingdoms on the planet are all evolving, but they seem to hold a steadiness and something that's not quite so chaotic for us to tune into.
And that could be why when things are seem to be so chaotic in the outer world, just taking a walk in nature really balances you and comforts you so much.
Indeed.
Because they don't tap into the chaos that we have experienced in our outer world.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we have those five kingdoms, and then we have, you know, the bodies within us. So we have like our physical body, our emotional body, our mental body, then our etheric body, and then our, you know, our spiritual bodies. So that little mental body of ours, you know, can be very affected. You know, all of our bodies can be. I mean, sometimes we're living in a toxic environment and we don't even realize it. You know, it might be toxic because of the EMFs, you know, if you live very close to a cell tower or one of these smart meters on your house. Sometimes there can be a lot of environmental toxins, not to mention the stuff that people are cleaning their houses with. Sometimes they can be. Then there's all the food allergies. You know, sometimes we're putting stuff into our bodies that our bodies hate. I can attest to that. You know, mm-hmm. I was, you know, my body doesn't like gluten, sugar. You know, even I notice sometimes that if I eat too many eggs, my body really reacts. So it, you know, but if we're very sort of toxic, you know, we're kind of carrying a toxic load. So, you know, it might take something to push us over and you kind of go, okay, well, I know I ate that and it made me really sick. But actually, it might be just that that was the quantum, that was, you know, the one thing that sort of pushed you over the limit. So, and our minds are the same. If we listen to a lot of what is continuously pumped out on all the TV stations, it's all, you know, a lot of the stuff on Twitter, and you know, it's very fear-based, and life can be quite difficult. And then people have difficulties and problems, and people have relations that they're worried about. And they, you know, so there's a lot going on, and so I think, because of the walk in nature, you know, we're actually walking on the earth, not on concrete. I think that makes a big difference. Breathing, because you breathe more maybe when you walk. And then you have all of that balance that's available with all of the other kingdoms, which are accessible to you, just taking a simple walk, like you say. It's fantastic.
So ceremonies that we do, you know, if we get more involved with doing ceremonies at the 8 times a year, at not only the 4 seasons, but at the cross quarter days, they help us to be more aware of a larger flow to life.
Yes.
Because even though the weather, particularly in the United States, I don't know much about Europe, but even though the weather seems to be a bit chaotic and nothing like what it was a few years ago, there still is spring and summer and fall and winter, and they still have their own identity, and they still have a rhythm, a pattern to them,
yes,
which helps us know that there is a much, much, much larger picture to life.
Yes, and I mean, even, you know, this is Celtic, so we're, you know, we're definitely in a part of the world where we have the 4 seasons. Not everybody does, and they're indigenous teachings would be kind of quite different, but we do there and we do here. One of the things that I think that dawned on me actually in ceremony was, you know, the temperature, really, the weather and the temperature may be fluctuating a bit, but, or a lot even, but the light isn't, you know, we still have very, very little light in the winter and full on light in the summer. And then we have, you know, if you just wanted to do it that, you know, we have very little light in the winter, we have full on light in the summer, and we have the two equinoxes as that the change happens from winter to summer and from summer to winter.
And those are always the same.
And those are always the same.
That's really very refreshing. I never thought about that.
And
the equinoxes will always happen, and they will always be the same, regardless of how chaotic weather is.
Yeah. And so, you know, we're used to the beginning of winter, the beginning of spring. So Beltane, of course, is the beginning of summer, of course, because, and then we have and Lunasa is the other one. So we have Samhain, Imbolc, Beltane, which is the one that's coming up at the beginning of May, and then we have Lunasa, which is the beginning of the harvest, so the beginning of autumn. I love that, because if you can divide it into 4, then you can divide it into 8 very easily.
Right.
And so, you know, you just have, because 3 months is a long, I find doing ceremony on the new moon, for instance, or the full moon, that feels a lot, like that's 12. You know, and that feels like a lot. If we only did it on the equinox and the solstice, then that's actually 3 months. That's too long for me as well. But if we divide that, it's one every 6 weeks, roughly. And I love that, because it gives them enough time to actually really see the change in nature and be able to relate it to what's kind of going on. And I think, as I have found, I think everybody will find, and that is, you know, you do have natural rhythms that are going on inside of you. And the more we pay attention to the seasons, the more I have become, I'll just speak for myself, I've become aware of those kind of natural rhythms, and, you know, and when to rest and when to push, because, you know, I've really found that rhythm just works much more cohesively in my life. And I'm also becoming aware of my tendency to push. And when I push, I usually push from my will, because I feel like, well, this is what has to happen now. And I'm doing my best to back away from that and operate from a different place inside of me.
Of going with the flow.
Of going with the flow and coming from more from my heart. And of course, you know, we've got to organize and pay our bills and do all of that.
Sure.
But I don't do that from a place of will. I just do that from a place of rhythm, really, you know. So and my life is just easier in that way, that I'm more aligned, I think, with nature and with what's going on from the outside and the inside.
I notice that since I've been more conscious of doing ceremony, that it becomes easier to bring that flow into all parts of our life. It happened where yesterday, when I was coming back from an unexpected trip because of a funeral, my husband and I were driving down an expressway, excited that we were only an hour and a half from our home, and this is a new home, so we're very unaware of the state. That all of a sudden we found ourselves in a huge traffic jam because of an accident where they were derailing everybody off the expressway.
Mm.
And if you're new to the area and are not aware of the landscape at all, then it was just a huge, huge challenge for us because
right.
we found ourselves, and this is a Sunday late afternoon, early evening, in a very, very small town with hardly anything open and had no idea what road to take, you know, and where to go. And when we were getting off, being directed off the expressway, the first thought that came to my mind was, okay, how do I make this an adventure?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just resisting it and saying, oh, near a problem, you know, this is going to be horrendous, how do I make it an adventure? And as it turned out, it seemed just by listening to our intuition to be open to where we needed to go, we ran into the most delightful gentleman who actually escorted us back onto the expressway, who had the connections and knew exactly where the accident was and what entrance we need to get to. And so it was just, you know, kind of like a hop, skip, and a jump, you know, off and then we were back on again.
That's fantastic.
And it was what I had learned by being in the flow, by not resisting, by knowing that nature is always in the flow, and by just allowing myself to flow with whatever happens. That's how ceremony has really enriched my life.
Yeah. Well, I think it does help us just live in more than our mental bodies. I mean, it sounds like a funny thing to say, but, you know, I think sometimes people get so sort of caught up with what they're thinking and what they believe to be true that it's like, you know, their bodies are just a transport system for their heads, really, to get them from one meeting to the next.
I love that.
And there is just so much more available to us. And I think that's really, you know, I think that's our kind of challenge, you know. Life changes all the time, and it's like, you know, instead of getting upset or too, you know, bent out of shape about something, it's like, okay, you know, can I just take a breath here and just surrender? This is my reality. This is reality right now. This is what's happening right now. So what's the best way you know, of me going about it. And certainly in the past, for me, you know, I would get quite upset about things. Sometimes, you know, if something wasn't going to plan or there was a big delay, you know, and then I'd end up perhaps being a little bit cranky with people, and then they're cranky with me, and then the ensuing adventure, as you say, you know, can be upsetting. Whereas when you take a breath and just sort of say, okay, well, how can it, you know, how can, what's the best way to walk into this? Being, just being a little bit, having, you know, like taking a moment to respond to a situation rather than just reacting. That's really, I think, the biggest place where this work helps. You're absolutely right. Yeah,
it does. It does. And it also highlights important transitions in our life. One of the things that I'm thinking of that many people don't have a ceremony on, but I always thought it would be really important, is the onset of menses for women.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think that would be wonderful, actually. Our bigger community rituals do seem to have gone somewhat by the wayside. And I think they're sorely missed in our society today. I know I have a friend who has joined the Mankind Project, which you can Google. It's a worldwide group. They have many, many chapters. And it's basically men supporting men. And one of the things that they do, and I'm not a man, obviously, so I don't quite know how this works. I don't know if it's the first time, the first workshop you do with them or whatever, but you get together with your group of men and you do a ceremony where you claim your manhood. And my friend did that when he was sort of in his 60s. And he said he was so glad he did it, that it made a huge difference to him. And so I think it would be wonderful if we did have, you know, it would be great if we did it sort of as society, but even if they were just done within our families and our extended families, I think it would be fabulous. And I don't mean just like, way, you know, and go out to dinner. Just, you know, yes, do that, but maybe just spend a few moments and light a candle and give thanks, you know, that now you can, speaking of young girls, it's like, what an incredible thing. Now you can actually give birth to a baby. And how holy and sacred that is. You know, I think, you know, it is the lack of the awareness of the sacredness in our lives that really causes us to kind of run crazy through life without really paying much attention to the awesomeness and the sacredness of all the things. And that's with the fire festivals too. It's like when, you know, when we were in Imbolc, you know, and you did see those little buds and those, you know, it's just so amazing. Really, the miracle of life is so sacred in itself, really.
And ceremony really helps bring us to light.
Yes, yeah.
It really connects us and helps bring it to light. Well, we're getting near the end of the program. It has been absolutely wonderful just reconnecting with you and delving more deeply into ceremony and what it can do to enrich our lives. I know what I wanted to make sure that we cover before we leave is what do you have going in the future? I think you've got a little pilgrimage, I understand.
I am going to Ireland. A friend of mine is taking me to Ireland for a very brief visit, but we will be there for the 1st of May. Which is Beltane, it's Bealtaine, it's celebrated at home. So I will be there for that. And then I will be coming back and doing my fire festival here, celebrating Bealtaine in Hendersonville. So I'll be sort of hot off the press, as it were, having just celebrated it in Ireland. And I plan to be in Uisnech, which is the center of Ireland, and where traditionally on Bealtaine all the fires would be put out the night before Bealtaine, and then at dawn on Bealtaine the fire would be lit in Uisnech, and then I'm not sure where the second fire is, but there would be people watching, and the fire would be lit in Uisnech, and they would light their fire, and then the next town over would see that and they would light their fire, and so all of the fires are lit around Ireland from the soul of Ireland, blessing, one of the things that's really sacred is the whole fertility and the fecundity of our lives and of our world, and it's very much, about blessing the fields and for a good harvest and the good planting and all of that kind of stuff. That's what happens at Bealtaine.
So when you have this phenomenal experience in Ireland, then you're going to come back and lead a ceremony in Hendersonville, North Carolina.
Yep.
And what is the date of that? Do you know?
That is going to be on the 4th of May.
On the 4th of May.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for anyone in the area, that I know it's going to be an absolutely heartwarming, sacred, expanding ceremony.
And
a joyous one.
Yes, we're very joyous. Bealtaine is really very much about the celebration of life. And if anybody wants more information, it's on my website.
Which is
mynativeireland.com.
Mynativeireland.com. Wonderful, wonderful. We've got about 2 minutes left over here. Do you have any final words on ceremony or your path or anything you'd like to share with the listeners?
Well, really, I think to create ceremony, create something that you love. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be washing the dishes. It could be planting something in the garden. It could be sitting with your candle. It could be, but just create something that brings your heart joy. I think that's the most important thing about ceremony. And you know, if you're going through this big laborious ritual of doing A, B, C, D, and E in that particular order because you think that that's what you have to do and it's not bringing you any joy, don't do that. Just do something that brings you real joy to your heart. That's what I'd say.
Wonderful. Thank you for those wise words. Always come from the heart. Always come from the heart. Coming from the heart and doing whatever you feel is much more important than going by any rule book on how to conduct it.
Well, and I would say ceremony should feed the heart. So do something that brings you joy.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel when people say coming from the heart, it's like people aren't quite sure what that means.
Okay.
But if you do something that brings you joy, you're connected with your heart.
Very much so, very much so. Anne Marie, thank you so very, very much for a beautiful, beautiful conversation. I'm sure that everyone will now be more in tune with exactly what ceremony is and how it can really enhance and enrich their life.
Well, I hope I was of help to a few, and thank you very much for talking to me for an hour.
Oh, you're welcome. Our pleasure. So just want to end by thanking all the audience for your attention and leave you with a few things. Any comments or questions or suggestions, you can email me at darstar1@sbcglobal.net. That's darstar1@sbcglobal.net. Or you can connect me through my website at www.passionatemoves.com. That's www.passionatemoves.com. Leave you with just one little quote that I had heard, and it's connected with ceremony. And it says, particularly with the menses that we just talked about a little bit, and that was that as long as the blood of women is revered, the blood of warfare will be glorified.
Wow, very powerful.
Now, as long as the blood of women is not revered, the blood of warfare will be glorified. So with that, enjoy this very special time of day, very special time of month, very special time of year, and blossom, blossom, blossom. This is the season. Namaste.